everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to CMS Connected's brand new podcast. You've officially signed on to listen to myself, Laura Myers, and my colleague, Gabriella Peroni.
Hey, everyone.
Discuss some of our favorite topics in the digital business world today. We thought our first topic would be best to start with the conversation we have most often in our office when we're having great interviews or reading interesting articles. We kind of spin around on our chairs and have lengthy conversations we kind of wish that we could share with you guys about all the latest trends and technologies in e-commerce and kind of what brands are doing with them to up their customer experience. So let's get started. We thought for the first topic we would cover would be something that I have to admit is one of my favorite things to think about lately in relation to the e-commerce strategy. And I know when I say that it's very fun for me to think about it, I'm a bit of a nerd, but totally gonna own that one. I think in the beginning of the year, I was really focused on the GDPR and how that related to personal data. And then when the GDPR came into effect and we stopped talking about it as much and it became less of a focus, was about the same time that I had a really great conversation with the founder and CEO of ElasticPath, Harry Chimko. And he talked about the role of APIs in relation to their platform being API first and then being one of the first to kind of bring that to the market. In preparation for the massive influx of IoT devices that we're going to see, I think he said that they were going to double by 2022, which is crazy when you think about it. And then I also read that a very small percentage of devices that can be internet enabled are. So if you think about the massive potential that has for brands and B2C and B2B and everything that they can do, if we think about also, there's another conversation that we'll bring up a bit later about all the data that's available to companies with all of the devices that they can internet enable, that their customers are interacting with, that they can again glean data, kind of put it into the flywheel of customer experience and just get a much more strategic strategy built on that insight, which is amazing. The other important consideration with voice assistants and IoT is to think about the different use cases. One of the great points that Harry brought up is a lot of the time brands are thinking about it in a B2C, very customer engagement and data interaction, I guess is the best way to say it. But in B2B, he was mentioning that machinery can schedule its own maintenance, that's what I'm looking for. B2B can schedule their own maintenance and they can order their own parts. So I think for brands thinking about how to integrate voice assistants and IoT into their overall commerce strategy, they can think about it with a kind of a different lens. So with B2C, you're really thinking about that customer engagement and the data available to you. But with B2B or B2B to C, I think that's how people say it these days. The cool kids say it. They can think more about what's going to be more time and cost effective. And I think that that's a bit of a different lens to put on it. But the final piece that I have in that voice assistance and IoT conversation is I kind of go, because everybody talks about it, and it is very exciting, obviously, because I admitted that I love to think about this. But I also think about what's the role of digital agencies and technology, and what's the role of those advising brands to bring IoT into their strategy? Like, how are they making it a reality for brands?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember you spoke with Nate Barad of Bloomreach.
Yeah.
And he had really good things to say about IoT and, you know, to deliver on the hand-wavy promise for their customers.
Yeah, I think he said that was one of the trends that's coming up is that a lot of people are saying, like, IoT, he said previously it's been a really hand-wavy promise that people have had, but now's the time that obviously we have the technology to deliver on it, but we really need to be integrating it into strategies. But I just find it really exciting, I guess, because it's such an untapped potential.
And we'll see where it goes.
Yeah. Along the same lines of technology, we want to look at how augmented reality and artificial intelligence is really contributing to the various online-offline strategies that some brands have. What's interesting is that the technology has really offered brands a way to tailor their own strategy. And I think sometimes we get stuck in thinking that brands are all doing the same thing. But you have right now, I was reading quite a divergence of plans. So I remember last Christmas, Starbucks, for example, who we're going to talk about their mobile strategy later because it's quite awesome. But I realized at Christmas I was going to look for merchandise online. I think I even might have tweeted something funny about this and used a GIF because that's what I'm going to do. But they removed all online retail off their site. And I was baffled because I thought, you know, it's kind of like a table stake thing. You kind of want to let people purchase stuff online, but then, of course, stepped out of my consumer mind and thought from a business standpoint, there obviously is a good reason that they're doing it. Maybe they were investing too much in the time to run their online retail, and maybe they weren't getting an ROI because, like, obviously coffee is kind of their game. They do have merchandise, but I think it's more secondary. But the other thing that was interesting is I ended up reading about it, that they did it to create more in-store traffic.
Yeah.
So they almost, like, they ended that online portion to increase the offline experience.
I wonder if that's going to be, like, a good idea or not, though.
Like, yeah. I wonder if it's going to be something that maybe other brands are going to... I mean, it was quite experimental, quite, yeah, you know, a bit, I would say, a bit dodgy to do. But it's interesting, especially when you look at someone like Inditex, who owns a ton of retail brands. I think the one that we would most know in North America is Zara, which...
That's a good example.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great store. It has a great... great in-store experience. I find a lot of clothes that I love there. And they've announced that by 2022, all their brands will be online. They will have no stores, which again, they've taken like what Starbucks did and they've just completely flipped it around.
Yeah.
So you have this divergence of strategy, which is super interesting. And I'm wondering, especially when it comes to clothing, is that going to be a good idea? I know I mentioned in that Sephora article that I did, it's great that with such a cool digital strategy, they've been able to take something as tangible as cosmetics and have it be so huge online.
Yeah.
But we had a good conversation about clothing and like, I don't buy as many clothes online, but I know that you
do. Yeah, I don't really either. And for me, when I shop, I like to, you know, feel and feel the fabric and, you know, smell leather, which is kind of weird, but, and so I don't really like to shop online. So
she's like walking around the stores. So good. But it's very true. So clothing is kind of like a crazy thing to take online because especially like you have to see, I mean, we have the magic mirror technology, obviously, but seeing it on your body in an augmented reality situation, the technology is fantastic and it's really futuristic if you think about what we can do. But for them to take everything online, you have to see how it sits on your body. And then you have to see, like, especially with men's suits. And I know that Zara, I think, has menswear as well. How does it sit on your shoulder? And the other thing that that brings to mind is one of the great pain points in online retail that artificial intelligence is helping is the massive amount of unwanted items that are being returned because so many people are going online and there's so much more tax on the environment and so much more of a tax on resources. Mm-hmm. So the cool thing with augmented reality is, yes, customers are getting a better view of it on their body. And so obviously I can see why Zara would do this or Inditex would do this, where they have AI that can recommend stuff. But I think the ideal situation would be what some brands are doing where they have storefronts that have, you know, one of every size. People can go in, have that in-store experience, and then it's a purchase online. But I think removing all stores from their brand strategy is a little bit strange.
Yeah.
Because you're not, it'd be obviously very interesting to see how it works, or I don't know if the European market's different and that's where it comes from, but I just think that people would need to feel the textures and feel the fabrics and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Another great use case for augmented reality, again, going back to the Sephora example, is they're able to, they have like an artificial intelligence visual artist that assists people or, I mean, we're going to talk about mobile strategy later, but the way that they've been able to, Gartner recently did a report on fantastic digital brands and they were crowned the genius digital brand just because of what they've been able to do. And I think in my article, I made the joke that their headquarters are in San Francisco. So it might be like the proximity they have to all that creativity that's helped them really excel. But I think it's also just kind of understanding how to reach their market in brand new ways. So I think innovation has really been the game changer there.
And there is also the color IQ that they do.
Yeah.
When you want to buy like certain color foundation to match your skin tone. I think that's super cool.
And,
you know, I wonder like what that is behind that for like development wise.
Yeah.
Like, how they actually develop that.
Yeah. Like behind the scenes, how that kind of recommendation engine works.
Yeah.
And if there's like, if you think about the color theory that would create, like if you think about the primary colors, it would create a certain foundation color and then how they would tag that with products and then match it in the recommendation engine. That would be really cool. It's all that's the thing with AR and AI. I just really want to like, when I'm at events, I got to admit, there are certain brands that I love as a consumer and they just get me as a consumer. Cause it's funny when you see strategies, you almost get like, and I get the thing, I get like content envy or personalization strategy envy where I'm like, oh, I see what you did there. Good work. And then when I'm at events, I almost like look for the logos at certain kiosks of companies. And when I find the Sephora one, I think I already tried with one that I saw work for Sephora and I kind of stealthily faded up and had a great conversation and tried to ask them like what they did for them. Because I just really want to know. And I got to admit, totally. So If you see me at an event and I'm asking what a certain company you work with, it's because I just want to know. I just want to know how you're making that magic happen.
Yeah.
Now, the next topic, which is something that, I mean, it's been talked about for years when you look at the role of social media and shopping. And I think Instagram is one of the platforms that has really been able to kind of own social media's influence in the commerce strategy.
And push the envelope on things.
Yeah, definitely. They've even created a market for apps like to Know It.
Yeah.
Where people can shop right from there. And they've kind of Like to Know It has created an entire business shopping from Instagram, which is really cool because like Facebook hasn't had that. Pinterest hasn't had that. Mm-hmm. So Snapchat definitely hasn't had that. So I think Instagram's role in e-commerce is quite interesting. But what I was reading is that they actually want to create their own shopping platform. And this is an interesting conversation we had because we kind of looked at it and thought, is that the best idea?
Yeah.
Or they've done such a good job of being such a great touch point. But the shopping app that they want to create is where businesses can have a profile page and customers can just shop the products right off this platform and purchase right within the platform.
Yeah.
And like you kind of brought up, you know.
Was that a good idea? Like, is that a good idea? Should they just stick to Instagram? Should they do Instagram shop as well? You know, like, are they taking on too much?
Yeah.
So,
because like, there's a lot that goes into a good commerce strategy.
Yeah.
You have to really align with your product inventory. You have to really align with the whole experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I, again, think maybe they shouldn't quit their day job. Maybe they should just stay as a good social media app. I know that they're also making, they added the ability, I think in March or April, where you could, outside of Like to Know It, you could shop more from the platform. And I know that they're working on making stories shoppable as well.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But the social media strategy is also interesting to kind of go back to our last topic on how augmented reality is coming in as commerce within social media.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that we were also talking about was Kylie Cosmetics has created this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The Snapchat app.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Or it's Instagram.
Instagram.
It's all the same, right? So they've taken the kind of augmented reality advances that the Snapchat filters had, which a lot of people don't think because they think of Snapchat, they think of the dog face. But I remember reading articles a while ago at how impressive the technology actually was and how accurate it can understand people's faces and put things on there. So Kylie Cosmetics has one where it puts her lipstick shades on your face in the app as a filter that you would use.
Yeah.
But she's literally placing the products on your face.
It's smart.
As an interesting engagement tactic.
Yeah.
And then you see it on you, you like it, you're going to purchase it. So kind of combining the social media and augmented reality. And then you have, again, one of the things that I see in commerce and I really enjoy is when, this is something that Sephora does really well, is they have that dual rail engagement strategy where they're creating like a delight feature,
yeah.
But then they're also creating the commerce portion and they're kind of pushing the product purchase, but while they're engaging people at the same time.
Exactly.
So I found that this isn't social media. We're going to go back to augmented reality. But when I was in Ulta Beauty in Chicago, they had a kiosk where MAC Cosmetics, which admittedly I think is one of the cosmetic brands that I would say is a little bit behind in digital, but they had a kiosk where you could see your face and try products on. And I thought back to the days where, and you brought this up as an example with mm-hmm. lens crafters and clearly contacts and stuff, where before they used to have it where you could try glasses on pre like stock photo faces. But now we've come to a time where it's good enough that you can actually see what it would look like on your face.
Yeah, with lens crafters one, you can actually also send it to like your family members too.
Oh, so there's, interesting.
There's four photos. Yeah. And you can choose from those four photos and send them off to your like family members or a loved one or something and
kind of like
opinion.
Kind of like, I think this looks good, but what do you really think?
Exactly.
You know, so that's really cool. But I think, social media and shopping has done a lot, but I think it's really, in terms of how Instagram has been able to do it, mm-hmm. one of the things that I thought of too when I saw how successful Instagram was getting was I thought about how, I remember when I first started in software, Pinterest was trying to be a commerce platform.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, oh, that's great because they have all these outfits and things like that. But Instagram's kind of swooped in and done what they wanted to do, which is interesting. And I actually had this conversation with Harry from Elastic Path as well. And he commented one of the issues with Pinterest was that their journey might not have been the best, which again is something that Instagram has done really well.
Mm-hmm.
But I was reading that Pinterest has really been able to monetize their user base quite well through like massive influx in ad sales. So I'm wondering now if they're going to take that extra investment and kind of flip it into R&D to take another run at commerce. So I think social media and commerce, Instagram's really owning it, but I wouldn't be surprised if in the next 6 months to a year, we have another player kind of pop in.
Yeah.
Definitely. One of the other really important parts of the e-commerce trends and technologies conversation, of course, is mobile strategy. Now, I know that mobile, again, like social media and like, you know, artificial intelligence, it's been a conversation for a while, but I think we're really seeing brands just excel with this lately. And it's really, really interesting. You actually did an awesome article on Starbucks.
Yeah, that was great. I had included it in my email marketing article on how Starbucks, you know, really listens to their customers and really engages with them through their email campaigns and through their emails. And, you know, they offer like free coffee to really keep you engaged, to upload your app and like add more money to it. I think that's just such a great idea. And, you know, who doesn't like free coffee?
Exactly.
Let's be honest.
I love free coffee. What was funny too is after you did that, I had a conversation with Ed Kennedy from EpiServer.
Oh, right.
He's a commerce strategist over there. And when I, of course, whenever I'm interviewing people, I'm always like, what brands do you like? You know, what, because, you know, everybody, like we talk to people from like Bloomreach, ElasticPath, EpiServer, in this conversation we've had especially. And we always ask, what brands do you like? Like what has kind of impressed you? It's like how I admitted that I, you know, get really impressed by certain digital strategies and want to know how they did it. I know that other people with the investment in the space have the same kind of thought. And Ed actually brought up the great strategy Starbucks has with mobile, but he brought it up in the sense of, again, the online-offline experience, but how this engagement has been able to give them so much great data on their customers, and they can really personalize that experience. And again, he was bringing up something that tied into their strategy of greater foot traffic, where through their mobile app, they're offering free Wi-Fi, and through localization, they know that you're in the store and they're giving you certain things and certain coupons, or they're offering you free tea and coffee because they know that you're in the store. So they've, again, for removing their online retail, they've really taken the time to amp up the other kind of digital strategy that they can have through mobile, which is really cool.
Yeah.
To kind of go back with another brand that's really doing something cool with mobile, again, Sephora. They shocking that I bring that up again. They have almost like one of the things, again, having worked in cosmetics, you know that the sales process can sometimes be too much and it can be really intimidating to customers. So when I read about Sephora's mobile strategy, I had the thought that they had understood that and wanted to give customers a bit more autonomy in the store, which again might be a little bit of what Starbucks is doing too. Because with mobile strategy in business, you understand, if you understand that everybody has their phone on them, a lot of the time people's phone doesn't leave their hand. So brands that are looking at mobile strategy, like how can I maximize that? And Sephora took it as being almost like its own assistant to the shopper while they're in store. So one of the things that they can do, for example, is they can scan a product and up will become on the app all of the reviews and online information available to that person. So again, they're mirroring that online offline strategy. One of the things I do, I really enjoy listening to podcasts, and there's a really great one from the Wall Street Journal called Tech News Briefing, and it's like 5 or 6 minutes every morning that I listen to just what's happening in the tech world that day. And they brought up an example from TGI Fridays, which I don't hear them that often, but they actually were able to use through a mobile strategy and localization, they've been able to up their takeout revenue by 50% this year just from this mobile strategy. If you think about, again, they know that people's phones are on them. And so when they have someone, they can understand what someone orders, how often they order, what time of day they order, and they can send them a coupon when they're walking by and saying, hey, don't you want to order from us? And that has really worked for them.
Yeah. Well, then look at Starbucks, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Ordering app.
Exactly.
Right? So kind of the same thing.
Yeah, the mobile shopping app. I had a funny thing happen with one of my friends where she, I guess there was a couple mobile stores that she, like mobile, like stores on her mobile app that she orders from, and she ordered from one and didn't realize it. And then one of her friends sent her a photo of her coffee at another Starbucks because she forgot which one she had sent it to. Yeah. But the same, she's a good influencer for mobile Starbucks because she's in it. She uses it all the time. But another one is that one of her friends from the States knew she was having a bad day and ordered a coffee for her friend at a Starbucks right by her work as a gift to her.
That's so nice.
And had ordered the coffee for her and sent it to her. So it's really like That,
yeah, very convenient.
Totally.
Right, in that sense.
Even like the way that they have changed through mobile, they've changed the point of sale. Mm-hmm. They've made it so much easier where you're not going in, you're not standing in a lineup. I remember reading actually when they started their mobile strategy, they ended up having to bring in a lot more staff to stores because people just ran with it. People were ordering all their coffee on their phone. And when I was in Chicago, I went into this Starbucks and I thought, oh, cool, you know, there's not that big of a lineup. And I'm like, there are so many baristas behind the counter. And because every minute it was somebody on a mobile order, somebody on a mobile order.
Yeah, there's tons flying in.
Yeah, and people were just walking in and leaving. And I thought, not only have they upped the mobile strategy, but they've started to change the point of sale, which can be a bit of an outdated system anyway. So,
yeah. So we'll see where that goes too.
Yeah. I feel like we've just talked about Starbucks and Sephora and all this stuff today. Threw in some Instagrams, some Kylie Cosmetics.
All the stuff we love.
The last bit of the e-commerce trends and technologies conversation, of course, is going to touch a little bit on Amazon, but I'm going to try to flip the conversation on Amazon a little bit. Mm-hmm. I feel that people get too intimidated by them. And yes, it's kind of all powerful in a way. And I definitely think that it's Bezos' strategy to be that. I always say one of the questions that I would love to know about him is if when he started Amazon, if this was his plan or like total market domination was his plan, or if he has grown his strategy a little bit as more slowly and more like incrementally as he's gone. That's kind of the one if I'm like,
or if it's ever like changed.
Yeah, totally. I'm like, if I ever meet him at an event, I'm just going to be like, I have one question for you. Did you want to do this all along? Like, is that your plan? That's what I'm going to ask him. I'm going to be that girl. But I think, and I brought this up in my article about the podcast, I think Amazon is a good thing. Because I think that it really incites the competition for brands to think, here's how Amazon's doing it. We want to do some of it similar, but let's do something different and see how that works. And I know that Amazon is trying to own everything and get into grocery with Whole Foods, and they got into pharmacy with PillPack this year. And that's great because I don't like using the word disrupt, but they're really like entering in that market and they're making people level up in different markets, which is great. But I don't think them owning everything is a good thing, because I think when we remove the competition between brands, it's going to be a sad little commerce world if it's all just one way.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel a little bit when people have the Amazon conversation, I'm kind of the background cheerleader, like, you know, buck the system, go against Amazon, do your own thing. That's probably what we'll leave you with this conversation, you know.
Yeah.
Don't be scared of Amazon. Get after it. Think of your own technology. You know, use it while you can. But yeah, definitely there's so much potential for innovation in this when we talk about, you know, IoT and voice assistants. And this is just what we know now. We live in a really rapidly evolving world. I mean, people are going to come up with stuff that's super impressive that we haven't even thought of. So I think probably the thing we'll leave you with the e-commerce trends and technology question is, God, keep innovating and keep making it exciting for consumers, because that's what makes it so great.
And what we love to talk about.
Yeah, definitely. That's it for the very first Seamless Connected podcast. Thank you so much for listening in on Gabrielle and I discussing all of our favorite topics in relation to the trends and technology surrounding e-commerce today. If you want to read any of the articles we reference, they are linked below. But for all of our news and commentary on the wide world of digital business, make sure you stay up to date with Seamless Connected.